الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, today is the 28th of Shawwal 1433, which corresponds to the 14th of September 2012. It's a Friday morning here at the Jeddah Da'wah Center, and we will resume our discussion on the last ayat of Surah An-Nisa, and we ask Allah to facilitate the accomplishment and so we can move on to Surah Al-Ma'idah. We had stopped last session at ayah 169, and we covered it by Allah's grace. Today, inshallah, we'll begin the discussion on ayah 170. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم الرسول بالحق من ربكم فآمنوا خيرا لكم وإن تكفروا فإن لله ما في السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما. O mankind, the messenger has come to you with the truth from your Lord, so believe, it is better for you. But if you disbelieve, then indeed to Allah belongs what is in the heavens and earth, and ever is Allah knowing and all wise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, يَأْمُرُ تَعَالَى جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِعَبْدِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Allah commands all of mankind to believe in His slave and His messenger Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. وذكر السبب الموجب للإيمان به والفائدة من الإيمان به. And Allah mentioned the reason which necessitates believing in Him and the benefit behind that belief. والمضرة من عدم الإيمان به. And He mentioned the harm which one may acquire if one were to disbelieve. فَالسَّبَبُ الْمُوجِبُ هُوَ إِخْبَارُهُ بِأَنَّهُ جَاءَهُمْ بِالْحَقَّ أي فَمَجِيئَهُ نَفْسُهُ حَقَّ وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَمَا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ حَقَّ. The reason which necessitates is the information which Allah gave us about the fact that He has brought to you the truth, or He has come to you with the truth. The Shaykh said, meaning His coming itself is true, and what He has brought of the legislation is true. Yani the sending of the Messenger of Allah is true, and the information and the legislation which He came with is also true. So this is similar to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ in Surah Al-Isra. And with the truth we send it down, and the truth it came down. Yani the sending of the Quran is truth, and the content of the Quran is truth. فَإِنَّ الْعَاقِلَ يَعْرِفُ أَنَّ بَقَاءَ الْخَلْقِ فِي جَهْلِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ وفي كفرهم يترددون والرسالة قد انقطعت عنهم غير لائق بحكمة الله ورحمته. The intelligent individual, the sound person, knows that the remaining of the creation in their ignorance, wandering in their ignorance and in their disbelief, they're returning back and forth to their disbelief, and the absence of a message, all of them, if they were to be cut off, is not something befitting with the wisdom of Allah and His mercy. Yani the wisdom of Allah and His mercy entailed that He would not leave the people unattended. And that is the word that is usually used in the English da'wah field. When you're giving da'wah to the kuffar and you want to mention to them, you know, the purpose of creation, you say Allah created the creation and He did not leave him unattended. What is unattended? It's like when you go with your children to the playground and then you leave them in the playground, you go back home. No one is attending to their needs. No one is looking after them. No one is checking on them. No one is observing them. They're just doing their unattended children. They don't have anyone to look after them. Allah did not leave the creation unattended, as in He created them and said, do what you want. And just gave them nothing to look forward to, nothing to avoid, nothing to comply with, nothing to conform to. It's not the case. Allah did not leave the creation unattended. And it doesn't befit Allah's wisdom nor His mercy. فَمِنْ حِكْمَتِهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ الْعَظِيمَةِ نَفْسِ إِرْسَالِ الرَّسُولِ إِلَيْهِمْ لِيُعَرِّفَهُمُ الْهُدَى مِنَ الضَّلَالِ وَالْغَيَّ مِنَ الرُّشْدِ. Rather, from the wisdom and the mercy, the vast mercy of Allah, is the very sending of the messenger to them, so that he may inform them or clarify for them guidance from misguidance, and being upon the right path from being wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Al-ghay and rushd. Ghay is a person who is willingly on the wrong path, and rushd is someone who is willingly on the right path. Huh? Alaysa minkum rajulun rashid. As Lut alayhi salam had said to his people, someone whose mind will guide him to the the hidayah, will guide him to that which is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. فمجرد النظر في رسالته دليل قاطع على صحة نبوته. The mere observation of his message is an inevitable evidence about the authenticity and the validity of his prophethood. وكذلك النظر إلى ما جاء به من الشرع العظيم والصراط المستقيم. Similarly, looking and observing into what he has brought of this great legislation and the straight path. فإن فيه من الإخبار بالغيوب الماضية والمستقبلة والخبر عن الله وعن اليوم الآخر ما لا يعرفه إلا بالوحي والرسالة. Verily in it is information of the unseen, of the past and the future, and information about Allah and the last day, that which you can only know through inspiration and through messengership. Otherwise you can't figure these things out on your own. Captain, if someone calls you, it will interrupt the quality of the MP3. Do you have it on airplane mode? Is this yours? Do you have it on airplane mode? Or you
airplane mode.
No receiving phone calls? You? Airplane mode? Okay, then you cannot leave it here. It will ruin this audio file. See, somebody may be calling you. It will ruin the audio file. No, when someone calls you here, he will make, you will hear it later in the file. Then people will not be able to hear what I'm saying. If anyone calls you, send you a text message. If you put it in airplane mode and then turn on the recorder, abshir, because now no one can connect with you. Masha habibi. Otherwise, we have the MP3. You can download it from the website. Maalish, I've learned my lesson. وما فيه من الأمر بكل خير وصلاح ورشد وعدل وإحسان وصدق وبر وصلة وحسن خلق ومن النهي عن الشر والفساد والبغي والظلم وسوء الخلق والكذب والعقوق ما مما يقطع به أنه من عند الله. The Sheikh said, and what it contains of command of everything which is good, and rectification, and right guidance, and justice, and excellence, and truthfulness, and righteousness, and keeping of the kinship ties, keeping of the ties, and the good character. And then it prohibits every form of evil, and corruption, and transgression, and oppression, and evil character, and lying, and being undutiful. What, all that will make you no doubt that this is from Allah. You will have no doubt in your mind. And you all know the story of Abu Sufyan. Huh? Of Abu Sufyan when he went to who? To Heraklius. Heraklius. Huh? And because Heraklius was out there in the Sham area doing some business, and he had heard about the Prophet ﷺ, so he wanted to meet someone who may be close or related to him. And these Abu Sufyan, before he became a Muslim, among with others of the Kufar of Quraysh, were out in that area doing business. So he called them into his castle or whatever that thing he had with all of his people. And he asked them about the Prophet ﷺ. Now Abu Sufyan, even when he was a kafir, and they hated the Prophet ﷺ, they were fighting with him and everything. He didn't lie because he did not want the people to call him a liar. Yani he had the intention that if he would lie against the Messenger of Allah, but he had his friends with him and he did not want them to look at him like, oh, Abu Sufyan is a liar. So he had to answer truthfully everything everything Heraclius asked him. And so Heraclius asked him some very intelligent questions, which indicated that he had learned the scripture, that he knew the prophecies of the Prophet ﷺ when he will come. So he asked him, was any of his family members a king before? No. He said no. He said, what does he command you to do? What does he invite you to? So he told him, he invites us to truthfulness and worshipping Allah alone and leaving alone false gods and being dutiful to our parents and keeping the kinship ties and being chaste and this and this and that. And he prohibits us from lying and being evil and, oppression, so on and so forth. So he asked him all these different questions. All of them were critical. Who follows them? The weak or the strong? He said, the weak of the people follow him. He said, are they going back? Are they apostatizing from their religion, or do they remain in their religion? He said, they remain. Are you fighting with him? Yes. Does he ever act treacherously? He said, no, but now we are in the state of hidna. We don't know what he will do. He said, that's the only thing I could squeeze in against the Messenger of Allah. That we are in a state of a covenant, and he may betray us. But he couldn't say anything beyond that. And so at the end, he directly told him, I asked you this and you told me that. And I asked you this and you told me that. And I asked you this. He said, wallahi, if what you're saying is truth, he will soon own this ground which is under my feet. And if I were to be near him, I would wash his feet. That's Heraclius. Huh? He knew that this was the Messenger of Allah. Of course, when he went back to his people, the Christian, priests and all these monkeys, if I may say, and he shared with them what he had thought, they all went crazy. And so he favored his people over the Risala. And then, obviously, he died as a kafir. Whereas An-Najashi, was it Hamza? Who's the one who gave him the talk? It was Hamza, radiallahu anhu. No. The one who gave the talk, and then he recited from Surah Maryam. Ja'far, na'am, radiyallahu anhu. So when he delivered the message, I know this is not a phone ringing. Is that a phone ringing? Turn it off. Bustanera, oh my God. No, there's no sorry, Bustanera. We apologize for this technical error. So Ja'far delivered the message, and then he recited some of Surah Maryam, and Najashi started crying until his beard got wet, and even the Qasawisa back then started crying, and then Najashi became a Muslim because of that particular delivery. So the message was sent to many different rulers and they reacted differently. Ala kulli hal, the point being that they knew that the Prophet ﷺ invited them to everything which is good and beneficial for them. So you will know, no doubt, that this is from Allah. No doubt that this is from Allah. وكلما ازداد به العبد بصيرة ازداد إيمانه ويقينه. The more the slave has insight in regards to this religion, the more he will increase in his iman and his certainty. فهذا السبب الداعي للإيمان. This is then the reason which invites or necessitates a person embracing faith. وأما الفائدة في الإيمان. What is the benefit? Okay, now you have a good reason to become a Muslim. What is it in? What's in it for me? As they say, huh? What do I get? فأخبر أنه خير لكم. Allah said it is better for you. والخير ضد الشر. And خير, the good, is the opposite or the antonym of evil. فالإيمان خير للمؤمنين في أبدانهم وقلوبهم وأرواحهم ودنياهم وأخراهم. Faith is better for the believers in their bodies and in their hearts and in their souls and in their worldly life and in their life to come. وذلك لما يترتب عليه من المصالح والفوائد. That's because of what Iman brings about of benefits and good things. فكل ثواب عاجل وآجل فمن ثبرات الإيمان. Every reward which you receive, be it hasty, one which was hastened for you or one which is delayed, then it is ultimately from the fruits of Iman. فالنصر والهدى والعلم والعمل الصالح والسرور والأفراح والجنة وما اشتملت عليه من النعيم كل ذلك سبب عن الإيمان. Victory, guidance, knowledge, and deeds, righteous deeds, and contentment, and happiness, and paradise, all of these are, and all it contains of delight and bounty, all of these are because of Iman. Huh? Because of Iman, you get all of this in this dunya and in the life to come. كما أن الشقاء الدنيوي والأخروي من عدم الإيمان أو نقصه. Similarly, the wretchedness of this worldly life or the one to come is based or due to the lack of Iman or its deficiency. Huh? So the weaker our Iman, the more we will miss out on victory and knowledge and beneficial, you know, good deeds and so on and so forth. And what is happening to the Muslims in the world is the biggest evidence for that. It's the biggest evidence for that. We are huge in numbers, but ineffective in our production. Why? Do we lack people with credentials and qualifications? No, we don't. We got plenty of them. In every field of life, you find Muslims doing and excelling ahead of everybody else in this field. The problem is that we don't have the Islam which the Sahaba had. Yeah? We simply don't care as much. So when someone like Bilal radiallahu anhu would be tortured and beat up by the youth of the people, the awlad, the sigar back then, and by the leaders of Quraysh, and he's saying, ahad on ahad, huh? Which one of us will do this now? Now a person is being asked for something simpler than that. A hadith is narrated to him about the Messenger of Allah. You know, like somebody will be wearing a golden ring, and then we tell him that, you know, wearing a golden ring is haram. How many Muslims among 100 will actually take off the ring on the spot? Maybe 5. And 95 will say, I'll do it later. If they do it at all. Huh? If they do it at all. And the list goes on. Many examples can be given. How many people are willing to get up for Fajr every day? Psh, don't ask. Look at the masajid. So people talk about jihad and fighting fi sabilillah and we need to this and we need to that. See, look at the condition of the ummah. Nah? You have to start where the Prophet ﷺ started. You cannot start where he ended. They ended with jihad after they have done everything which Allah expected them to do. With ihsan. Then that was a stage for them to open up the world. Now we want to start from the end. But we miss all of the other prerequisites which Allah has made conditions for His Nasr. The conditions for the Nasr of Allah are clear. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you give victory to the deen of Allah. I just earlier right now, I saw a YouTube video about 4 modern Muslim ladies in the UK. Huh? About how they manage to, you know, modify Islam to please the British people. Because the way Islam is right now is not very compatible with the British lifestyle. So this one threw off the hijab and she wears a mini skirt. An old lady, 70 years old, if you see her you will almost pass out. As scary she looks, oh, she's wearing a mini skirt. She's breaking the stereotypes about Muslim women. MashaAllah, the hidayah, that genius, that's exactly what we need. A loser like you to go and represent us by throwing off your hijab and putting on a mini skirt and then say, wallah, you know, the issue of hijab is open for interpretations among the Muslims. You may interpret it that you have to cover your head and I may interpret it differently. Sheikh. And we have like these people, hundreds of thousands, with this nonsensical approach to Islam. And so, there's nothing that's going to happen. The victory will not come like that. Allah is just. Allah is just. Yeah. So, and maybe the people in Syria will continue to return to the deen because of their fitna until Allah grants them victory, but we will be observers. The rest of the world, Muslims will be only observers. You find that they will not get involved in this sense because the mentality of the people is not one wherein they would want to get involved because they can't even beat their own shayateen. can't even defeat one's own shaitan in the basic requirements of the deen, let alone be able to. Yani someone right now said, this brother, you know, had a car accident. Tayyib, let's say legitimate, someone we know. And they're collecting some money. Some money for this brother to have a surgery. And you ask how many people actually give money? Some will give 1 riyal, 5 riyals, those who cannot afford it. But some of those who can afford it will not give. So if someone is unable to give 5 riyals, is he willing to give his soul fi sabilillah? He can't even give a little bit of money for a needy brother. Is this person, would he be able to give up his life for the sake of Allah if he cannot give up 5 riyals for a brother fi sabilillah? No. If he can't do this, then he can't do that. So I mean, this is what it is. So the Sahaba had a whole other approach to this, and therefore Allah Azza wa Jal aided them, and that is our obligation, to return to their way and call people to it and propagate it and make sure that we are all upon the same page. Huh? So many things which are done today in the name of Islam are not part of Islam. I remember the brothers here, the Filipino brothers, when I first came here to the Da'wah Center, they had a Nasheed group. Huh? Nasheed group that was 100% unadulterated singing. Remember, we are Muslims inviting everyone, huh? I even remember this thing. So they brought this tune, this tunes of the kuffar, yeah, some old classic song by I don't know what's his name, that French singer, that famous French singer. Anyways, people that in my jahiliyyah I used to be familiar with. So they brought the same thing and they're doing this Islamic nasheed. And then I came and I spoke to the brothers and this and that, told them this is not from Islam, it's not from the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, many of them accepted and left it alone, and others did not. But what it did end up with, it ended up with dividing the ranks of the group. So I became alienated until today. I'm no longer clicked with the Filipino community because I am extreme. Why am I extreme? Because I simply try to tell them, let's do it the way the Sahaba did it, while others want to do it the way everybody else is doing it. You just, you know, you have to go with the flow. So these are things we cannot compromise. Huh? You cannot say, okay, I'll give up calling to the way of the Sahaba just so I can be with the brothers. No. No. This will remain the call. Those who join are successful, and those who fall behind are the losers. Are the losers. Because no other group will be saved by Allah except the group who are upon the way of the Prophet and the Sahaba, alayhi salatu salam. All other groups will be entitled to enter Jahannam. So we really have to choose and make the tough choice in this life. Now, وَأَمَّا مَضَرَّةُ عَدَمِ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَيُعْرَفُ بِضِدِّ مَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَا يَضُرُّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. As for the harm which one may acquire because of not believing in him, alayhi salatu wasalam, then this is known in the opposite, by looking at the opposite of what iman brings about. What does iman bring about? We said this, all these good things. Wa alaykum salam. Whereas the lack of it will be exactly the opposite. Basically, the slave will be harming none but himself. Wallahu ta'ala, excuse me. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى غَنِيٌّ عَنْهُ لَا تَضُرُّهُ مَعْصِيَةُ الْعَاصِينَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal is self-sufficient in regards to the slave, and he is not harmed by the sin, the sins of the sinful. Does anyone know of an ayah or a hadith which supports this statement? Does anyone know of an ayah or a hadith which supports the statement? Allah is not harmed by the sinfulness of the sinful.
There's a hadith in the 40 hadith by about the decree.
Okay.
If everyone to unite and harm you, I forget how it goes.
You're speaking about another narration, though. You're speaking about another narration which is close, but that's not the one. There's one which is Hadith Qudsi. It's Hadith Qudsi. And there's another Hadith Qudsi which is explicit. I believe it's in Bukhari. Of Abu Huraira, wallahu alam, that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said, "O my slaves, all of you are astray, except those who seek guidance from me. So ask of guidance, I shall guide you. All of you are hungry except those whom I provide with food. So ask food, I will give you. All of you are naked except those whom I clothe. So ask clothing, so I will clothe you. Then it says, know that if all of you, the good amongst you, and if all of you were to be upon the heart of the most evil man of this ummah, it will not decrease my dominion in anything. And then in the same hadith it says, إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلَغُوا مَضَرَّتِي فَتَضُرُّونِي. You will not be able to reach, or you will not be able to harm me so that I will be harmed. That's explicit from Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's a hadith Qudsi. In the same hadith which I quoted, where Allah explicitly said, you will not be able to harm me. No matter what you do, you will not be able to harm Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In this sense. And so, if all of the people came together and they were the most wicked of people, and does that make Allah Azza wa Jal any less majestic, any less powerful, any less nothing? It would, Allah Azza wa Jal would remain in his lofty position, and the people would be harming themselves. It's just whatever we do is upon us. It doesn't affect Allah Azza wa Jal in this sense. وَلِيَذَا قَالْ فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أي الجميع خلقه وملكه وتحت تدبيره وتصريفه. And to Allah belongs what is in the heavens and the earth, meaning all of them are His creation and His property, and under His arranging of affairs. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Never is Allah knowing of everything. حَكِيمًا فِي خَلْقِهِ وَأَمْرِهِ. He is wise in what He commanded and what He created and what He commanded. فَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ بِمَنْ يَسْتَحِقُّ الْهِدَايَةَ وَالْغِوَايَةَ. He knows who deserves hidayah and who deserves غِوَايَةَ. غِوَايَةَ from غَيْ. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْ. He knows who deserves to be rightly guided and who should be led astray. الْحَكِيمُ فِي وَضْعِ الْهِدَايَةِ وَالْغِوَايَةِ مَوْضِعِهِمَا. And he is wise in placing guidance and misguidance where they need to be, in their proper place. Meaning those who acquire misguidance will be misguided, and those who acquire guidance will be guided. Now, we're going to come to a critical point here. In Ayah 171, Allah says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقَّ. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا. O people of the scripture, do not commit excess in your religion. Do not commit excess in your religion or say about Allah except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was but a messenger of Allah. And His word, which He directed to Mary, and His soul created at a command from Him. So believe in Allah and His messengers. And do not say three. Desist, it is better for you. Indeed, Allah is but one God. Exalted is He above having a son. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. The Shaykh said, يَنْهَى تَعَالَى أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ عَنِ الْغُلُوِّ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah prohibits the people of the scripture in committing excess in their religion. وَهُوَ مُجَاوَزَةِ الْحَدِّ وَالْقَدْرِ الْمَشْرُوعِ إِلَى مَا لَيْسَ بِمَشْرُوعِ. Which means to transgress and go beyond the prescribed limit into that which is not prescribed. You go beyond what is allowed. وَذَلِكَ كَقَوْلِ النَّصَارَ فِي غُلُوِهِمْ بِعِيسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَرَفْعِهِ عَنْ مَقَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَالرِّسَالَةِ إِلَى مَقَامِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ الَّذِي لَا يَلِقُ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. This is similar to the statements of the Nasara, the Christians. And that's why the proper name is Nasara, not Masihiyin or Masihiyun. You hear the Arabs say Masihi, Fulan Masihi, Fulan Ghalat. Allah did not call them Masihiyun. Had they been Masihiyun, they would have been Muslims. Because Masihi, meaning someone who follows the Masih, the Masih was a Muslim who foretold the coming of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So they're not actually Masihiyun. It's praising them. And they don't deserve this praise. That's why it's a praise for them to be called Masihi, when he's truly not. He is a Nasrani. Nasrani, or from the Nasara. What does that mean? There's a difference of opinion among the scholars. Is it because of the statement of Allah, Man Ansari ilallah, qalu nahnu Ansarullah, as in the end of Surah As-Saff? Or is it because of the Nusra? Or is it because of an area, a particular area they named after? Allahu A'lam. It doesn't matter. What is important to us is that we don't call him Masihi. He's called Nasrani. And for the plural, they're Nasara, as Allah called them. وَذَلِكَ كَكَوْلِ النَّصَارَى فِي غُلُوِّهِمْ بِعِيسَى. Now, this is similar to the statement of the Christians, we call them Christians nowadays, obviously, in their excessiveness towards Isa, and raising him above the status of prophethood and messengership into that of lordship, which is only befitting to Allah. Because they say that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Huh? Which means all of them create, all of them sustain, all of them arrange, all of them are called on, all of them respond to your supplication, all of them, you know, this and that. And if they go to the extreme, and Jesus will judge you on the day of judgment also. Yani, Jesus will do the job of judging as well. So now even the Father is excluded from this whole, image. This is Allah's right. So they give Jesus a position wherein they make him equal to Allah in rububiyyah. Something that most kuffar didn't do. And this is extreme in kufr. Kama anna at-taqsira wa at-tafreeta min al-manhiyat. Kal-ghuluwi kadhalik. Similarly, shortcomings and negligence is also prohibited, just like excessiveness. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Do not say about Allah except the truth. وهذا الكلام يتضمن ثلاثة أشياء. This speech includes three matters. أمرين منهي عنهما. Two matters that are prohibited. وهما قول الكذب على الله. Two things are prohibited. First, lying, saying a lie against Allah. والقول بلا علم في أسمائه وصفاته. And saying something about Allah in regards to His names and His attributes without knowledge. Speaking about Allah's names and attributes without knowledge. وأفعاله وشرعه ورسله, without the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah and the actions of Allah and the legislation of Allah and the messengers of Allah, you're not allowed to speak about them without knowledge. وثالث مأمور به, the third thing which you commanded is وهو قول الحق في هذه الأمور, to say the truth in regards to these things. So two things which are prohibited. Don't lie against Allah, and don't speak about Allah without knowledge. Rather, do what you commanded, which is say the truth about Allah, Tabarak wa ta'ala. And you all know, many of these Christian priests and pastors and what have you, when they really, really, really became sincere, they became Muslim. Huh? When they reached that level of sincerity, they became Muslim. When they wanted to say the truth, they had no choice but to find Islam. If they were to go by their scripture, if they were to go by the truth, if they were to go by historical facts, they will find that there's nothing which supports the Trinity and the way it is taught today, and that the verses in the Bible are either fabricated, they're inserted, or they're misinterpreted, or at the least we can say they contradict other verses in the Bible which are explicit in Tawheed. They have to face this bitter fact. The best scenario for a Christian is that he has to admit that his Bible is full of contradictions. The best scenario. If he brings you a verse which proves that, anything about the divinity of Jesus, you can bring him 20 which prove the opposite. So the least we can say is, now your book is contradicting itself. And Allah said in our book, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah taught us, if any book is from other than Allah, you will find in it a lot of contradictions. So by Allah's standards, your book is not a book of Allah. Minimum. If we're unable to prove to them that these verses which call to Tawheed are actually the statements of Jesus and are more authentic than the verses which they fabricated against Jesus, If we fail in doing so, the least we can say, your Bible is full of contradictions. Don't go far. Bring the Catholic Bible and the Protestant's Bible, and the image will be clear. One has 73 books and one has 66 books. This is not from Allah. According to us in Islam, this is not from Allah. It cannot be from Allah. And the Christian has nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. It's a hopeless case for them. They will argue and argue and argue out of following desires, but they won't be able to prove to you anything. Because every time he gives you a verse of so-called divinity, we will give him 10 verses of so-called lack of divinity. Just John 5:30. Just memorize one, only one. John 5:30. I of myself can do nothing. That's it. Let him talk and talk and talk. Say, look, man, I don't know what you're saying, but Jesus said him by himself, he can do nothing. So I don't know what kind of God that is. I've never come across a God who says, I cannot do anything by myself. I've come across my God who says, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. I don't know what you're talking about. He said he himself cannot do anything. I judge as I hear. He said he judges as he hears. Meaning, when do you judge when you hear? When do you judge like you hear? When you don't know the unseen. If I were sitting here, and let's say I have these amazing skills, where I can hear people's conversation outside. Huh? Or if I knew the unseen, if I knew the hidden and the future, and two people came to dispute in front of me, how will I judge between them? I will judge between them based on my knowledge of the unseen. One will say, I swear I didn't hit his car, and I know because I know the unseen that he hit his car. I will say, nah, you're a liar. Huh? You're a liar. I know. I know you hit his car. Say, how do you know you weren't there? I say, I know the unseen. When can I not do this? When do I judge as I hear? When I don't know. You tell me he said this, he said that. Well, I mean, looking at the situation, I think you are right and he is wrong. Why? That's what I heard. The way you explain the situation. So Jesus doesn't know the unseen. Doesn't know the future. Doesn't know the past. And you can couple that with him going to the fig tree. Huh? Who finding no fruits in the fig tree, so he cursed the fig tree. You know this in the Bible? Jesus went to get some fruits, fig, teen, and there was none. A God goes to get a tree, he doesn't know that the tree is not bearing any fruit? Shit. Huh? So this is according to, I judge as I hear, but my judgment is righteous. He said, my judgment is righteous. I'm not going to favor you because you're my cousin. Why? For I do not seek my own will, but the will of he who sent me. Yani, this is Islam. It's Islam. He denied divinity. He denied knowing the unseen. He denied being able to do all things. He said he judges as he hears. And his judgment is righteous. He's not going to favor you. Why? Because he's seeking the will of Allah, not his own will. So he made a will of his other than that of Allah. This denies Trinity and divinity and Christianity altogether. That's it. So whatever a Christian babbles on afterwards, they say, sorry, no. It doesn't register. But blah, 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 and St. Paul said when he sent the letter to the Romans, say, yeah, I know, but Jesus said this. And I, as a Muslim, believe him. I don't believe Paul or Matthew or Mark. I don't believe any of them. I believe what Jesus said. And in spite of them lying against him, this they narrated to me. And therefore, I will reject it. Reject anything which opposes what Jesus said. You see? And Christianity is done. They have no case whatsoever. So when they want to be sincere, they'll become Muslim. When they want to play games, they will play games. They will find many reasons to play games. You all know about that already. نعم ولما كانت هذه قاعدة عامة عفوا كلية. And now when this has become a qaida, huh? You know what a qaida is? What? A rule. But shall I share with you something that will probably blow your mind if you don't know Arabic and English, or if you don't know American Arabic? You know the American Arabic? Does anybody know American Arabic?
American Arabic.
Yeah, man. You know how Americans speak Arabic? Right? Ramadan? Ramadan. Go to the masjid. Masjid and Ramadan. Okay, and the word is masjid in Ramadan. But American English, they elongate some vowels. The same way when Arabs speak English, they murder the language. And it's not a big deal. I'm not criticizing them. But why am I saying this? Because you know, have you been hearing all your life Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. It's actually Al-Qaeda. Huh? In Afghanistan, if Osama bin Laden, if he is who he is and whatever they claim about him, if that is all true and not fictitious, then it's Al-Qaeda. Huh? Taliban. It's Taliban, which is two students. Talib, one student. Taliban is two students with Taliban and Al-Qaeda. But it's actually Al-Qaeda. So when you hear the word Al-Qaeda, huh, know that they're speaking about Al-Qaeda in the language. Right? It's not Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda doesn't do the job. So, هذه قاعدة. نعم. لما كانت هذه قاعدة, this is a قاعدة, which is a foundation. It's a fixed foundation. قاعدة قعود. From something that is sitting, it's fixed in its place, it's, you know, not moving. It's something that is put. عامة, comprehensive, كلية, and inclusive of everything. وكان السياق في شأن عيسى عليه السلام نص على قول الحق فيه المخالف لطريقة اليهودية والنصرانية. When the context was in regards to Isa, may Allah exalt his mention, then Allah Azza wa Jal explicitly stated the statement of truth in regards to him, which contradicts the statements of the Jews and the Christians. Because we have two extremes. The Jews, who say he's a liar, imposter, you know, blah, 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 who denied him. And the Christians who believed in him to the extent that they made him their object of worship. So Allah gave us the haqq in between these two extremes. فدل فقال إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله. إنما is a very neat particle in the language, which basically says إنما is like the only thing. Verily, the only thing that Jesus, the son of Mary, the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, is the messenger of Allah. That's it. إنما, that's it. He is Rasulullah. أي غاية المسيح عليه السلام ومنتهى إلى ما يصل إليه من مراتب الكمال أعلى حالة تكون المخلوقين. The epitome of Jesus, the epitome of Jesus عليه السلام, and the highest point he could reach, which any human being can reach, which is the highest point among the creation, وهي درجة الرسالة, it is the level of messengership. No human being can get higher than that. The highest a human being can be from among the creation is Risala. Being a messenger. Cannot be more than that. Son of Allah, huh? Equal with Allah. All of this is batil. التي هي أعلى الدرجات وأجل المثوبات, which is the highest of levels and the most virtuous of rewards. The biggest reward Allah will give someone is make him Rasul. وأنه كلمته ألقاها إلى مريم. And Jesus is the word which Allah عز وجل had, you know, given to Mary. أي كلمة تكلم الله بها. It's a word which Allah spoke. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not as the Christians say, the word was with God and the word became God and all this nonsense and the mistranslation from the Greek language into English to make it seem that Jesus was God. That is not what is intended by the word. Not the word according to the Christian context. The word according to the context of Islam is what? When Allah commanded that Jesus is perceived or conceived in the mother, in the womb of his mother, without a man, this is by the command of what? Be. Kun. That's it. Allah commanded something, it's done. تكلم الله بها. It's a word Allah spoke. فكان بها عيسى. With this word, Isa came to existence. ولم يكن تلك الكلمة. He was not the word himself. Not Isa was the word. Isa was the manifestation. He was the product, huh, of the word of Allah. What is the word of Allah? Kun fayakun. Innama amrana idha aradna shay'an an naqula lahu kun fayakun. كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكِ. When Jibreel came to Maryam, in Surah Maryam, قَالَتْ أَنَّ يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا. How can I have a boy when no man has ever touched me and I was never an evil woman? قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ. خَلَص, this is it. Such your Lord said. And that qala, that said, is the kalima that Allah Azza wa Jal gave. He said that, and then Isa came into existence by the will of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. وإنما كان بها لم يكن تلك الكلمة إنما كان بها. He wasn't the word, he was the, he came into existence because of this word. وهذا من باب إضافة التشريف والتكريم. He was given that title, however, very important for you to understand, because some Christians will try to cast doubt in your mind. He was given that, he was called Kalimatullah as means of honoring him, huh? Honoring him and respecting him. You say, how is that? He say, we'll give you many examples. Baytullah, the house of Allah. Is it the house of Allah as in one of us has a house? Naqatullah. Huh? فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقْيَاهَا. نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ, the camel, the she camel of Allah. Does Allah need a she camel? No. This was referred to Allah, the house of Allah, to honor the house. The she camel of Allah to honor the she camel. Khalilullah. يعني the idea is when Allah Azza wa Jal will put his name next to something, that something is given status. It's given some honor because it is combined with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not that it is Allah's in this sense, as you know, like Naqatullah and Baytullah. So Kalimatullah, the word of Allah, meaning is noble, raising a status. It's the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, as we explained earlier. وَكَذَلِكَ قَوْلُ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهِ. The same goes for saying, and he's a spirit created by his command. أي من الأرواح التي خلقها وكملها بالصفات الفاضية والأخلاق الكاملة. It's from among the souls which Allah Azza wa Jal has created, and he perfected it with the virtuous qualities and the excellent character, Jesus. It's one of the souls which Allah created. He's a soul from the creation of Allah. Again, referring to Allah to honor Jesus, alayhi salam. Not that he is the Allah himself or the spirit of Allah, as some people may misunderstand. فحملت وأرسل الله روحه جبريل عليه السلام. Allah sent his ruh, Jibreel, alayhi salam. فنفق في فرج مريم عليه السلام. So he blew into Maryam's private part. According to some tafsir, according to another tafsir, he blew into her sleeve. He blew into her sleeve and she conceived Jesus. Either way. فحملت بإذن الله بعيسى عليه السلام. So she conceived and she became pregnant with Jesus by the will of Allah تبارك وتعالى. By the sending of the angel Jibreel. فلما بين حقيقة عيسى عليه السلام, after Allah clarified the truth of Isa عليه السلام, أمر أهل الكتاب بالإيمان به وبرسله. Allah commanded the people of the scripture to believe in Allah and His messengers. ونهاهم أن يجعلوا الله ثالث ثلاثة. And He forbade them from making Allah one third of three. Huh? A third of three. أحدهم عيسى والثاني مريم. According to some Christians, see, the Christians are of so many denominations, you don't even know where to begin counting and you will never finish counting. Huh? Every day they have a new denomination according to the priest, you know. The priest, he may wake up one morning and he finds out that he loves men. Huh? So he will create his own church for gay men. It's not a problem. He loves gay people and he's a faggot himself. So he will just become a gay church. And then people, you know, gay people come and they fight for him and they have all this nonsense. Yesterday he was going to this church, now his enemies with this church. And just like, you know, in the Christian, the Coptic Christians, man, the Coptic Christians in Egypt, they're so evil and wicked. One of them, listen to this now, listen to this, huh? Just so you know what Christianity is about. One of them, he was providing treatment for barren women. Women would come to him who cannot produce children. You know how he would cure them? He would sleep with them. Huh? This was the divine cure of the priest. all these women that would come? No. And he filmed himself. The son of a gun put a camera in his bed, huh? In the church. And these women will come say, I cannot have any children. Say, I'll take care of it for you. Huh? He will sleep with her. Like, because supposedly, yani, he is such a special man. She will start producing children afterwards. Married women. Married women. Hundreds of them went to this man. And he slept with all of them. And he recorded himself until they caught him. And they put it on a newspaper, Egyptian newspapers, on the front page. With images of him and under the bed sheet with all these different women. Huh? This is his own way of providing treatment for the ladies. يعني, I don't understand what to say, man. Wallah al-Azim. Something that will blow your mind. But it happens, it happens. So according to some Christians, the Trinity was Mary, Jesus, and the Father. And according to others, Trinity was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the most popular. Which is the most popular. Ala kulli hal, there are a couple of ayat in the Quran. And basically the Christians made this own understanding of theirs, and some of the scholars have that understanding. Where Allah said to Isa at the end of time, did you tell the people to take you and, you know, your mother as gods besides Allah? He said, glory be to you, if it is not for me to say that which I have no right to say, until the end of ayat, at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Na'am? At the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. So the people understood that the Trinity then, which Allah was speaking about, was Mary, Jesus, and the Father. But the truth of the matter is that verse does not necessarily explain that. Because the Christians, the Catholic Christians say, Jesus, Mother of God. Sah? Isn't Mary the Mother of God? They call her the Mother of God. Do they call on her besides Allah? They do. Hail Marys and all this stuff. This is shirk. This is shirk. So they have taken her as an object of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So she became involved in the Trinity in this particular sense. Even though the Trinity popularly is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. فَهَذِهِ مَقَالَةُ النَّصَارَى قَبَّحَهُمُ اللَّهِ. This is the statement of the Christian. May Allah make him ugly because of what they have said. Not necessarily physically, but yani, this is a statement that the Arabs use, which is basically, may Allah humiliate them and belittle them because of their kufr and their statements about Allah Azza wa Jal. فَأَمَرَهُمْ أَن يَنْتَهُوا. Allah commanded them to desist. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ. And he informed them that this is better for them if they stop. لأنه الذي يتعين أنه سبيل النجاة وما سواه فهو طرق الهلاك. Because it is clear that this is the only path of salvation. To abandon your statements about Jesus and to accept what Allah said about him. And any other road or path is one of destruction. Anything else that the Christians will believe besides what Allah said will lead them to Jahannam. Whatever they believe, whether they are differing on the concept of Trinity or the position of Jesus in regards to the Father and who has more power, authority, as long as they're still dwelling in that area and they have not moved into Jesus only, the Messenger of Allah, and then of course Muhammad, the final Messenger of Allah, no matter what path they take, it will lead them to destruction. The only path of salvation is in Islam. Is in Islam. That's why it's incumbent on every one of us to invite all of us Christian family members to Islam. And we have to do this with? And with wisdom. And with kindness. Alaykum salam. And with kindness. What we have in this classroom is a private session. You don't go display the same kind of information before a Christian. You don't. What I'm sharing with you for you to benefit from when you give da'wah does not mean that you will say exactly the same thing with the same tone. You may have a whole, in fact, you should have a whole other approach, specifically with your family members. You take the information, but that information you have to deliver it in a suitable way. Sometimes making them realize that they're so wrong will backfire. Huh? I'm only telling you what will strengthen your iman and your certainty. But you may not have to do it the same way against the Christian, because they may feel so low that their pride will prevent them from accepting the truth. So try to be more easygoing and more considerate when you speak to them, and have more of a dialogue until they realize that they are wrong without you rubbing it in their face. Don't make them feel that you're right, you're wrong, and say, you see, I don't know. La. No. Be subtle and take it easy, but let them reflect on it later on when you walk away. They say, oof, I don't know what I believe. I don't know what this guy really meant. He knows what he's talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. So they may go make some research, and Allah may guide them through that. But we have to give them da'wah. We can't leave them as Christians. It just doesn't work. And it's not fair for them. They have a right to be informed about Islam by their relatives. نعم ثم نزه نفسه عن الشريك والولد. Then Allah Azza wa Jal exalted himself above partners and children, or a son. فقال إنما الله إله واحد. Verily Allah is only one God. أي هو المنفرد بالألوهية التي لا تنبغي العبادة إلا له. He is the only one who's singled out in divinity, and worship is not due to anyone but him. Subhanah, glory be to him, or how perfect is he? أَيْتَنَزَّهَ وَتَقَدَّسَ, meaning he's exalted and he's holified. أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ, that he will ever have a son. لِأَنَّ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, to him belongs what is in the heavens and what is in the earth. I mean, when you own everything, you don't need anyone with you. If you were a manager, if you ran your own business, طيب, yeah, Sheikh, you're able to do everything perfectly. Would you hire someone? You don't feel tired. You don't feel sick. You're not bored by what you're doing. You are in total control, and you're making all the profit. Would you hire someone? When do you hire someone? When you can't do it on your own. When it's too much to do, you don't have the skills, experience, ability, energy, something, then you depend on someone else to come and help you in this process. Otherwise, khalas. So when do you have a son? When do we get a son? Because we have the need for children. We love children. One. Second, what do you think? I'll take care of you now, you take care of me later. Huh? I mean, that's normal. And don't think you're bad. As a father, I'm taking care of you now. One day, when I get old, you better look after me. I mean, and you want children for that, because if you were to get old with no children, life is tough. No one's going to look, no one cares for you, no one's going to look after you, blah, blah, blah. Only your children will have the patience and the love to look after you when you need someone to help you to the bathroom, A, B, C. So you get children because you need children, you love children, and you depend on the children, and a huge list. Does that all apply to Allah? La, no need for anything, and no one to look after anything, and no one to... So to Allah belongs in everything in the heavens and the earth. What are you talking about? For what does he need a son for? Oh, he needed a son so he can die for the sins of people. Why? Since when can Allah not forgive? Look, since when can Allah not forgive? If Allah wanted to forgive everybody, yeah, and it doesn't make sense, he will create a son and he will make him go to earth, then he will have him humiliated, then he will have him crucified, then he will have him resurrected, la 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 la, just so he can forgive the people. Yes, yes, stupid. Stupid. If Allah wanted to forgive people, he would have forgiven them. End of story. So no matter how they go about it, there's no room for it. Allah owns everything, heavens and the earth, everything belongs to him. What would he need a son for? Said logically, there's no room for them to say Allah took a son. Legally, we know. Logically, there's no room as well. And you need to know this information. Tell them, why do people have children? And they will agree with you when you tell them, isn't it for this, isn't it for that? Then tell them, does Allah need all this? Does God need all this? No, he does not. So logically, he doesn't have any children. فَالْكُلُّ مَمْلُوكُونَ لَهُ, everything is a property of his. مُفْتَقِرُونَ إِلَيْهِ, they are in need and poverty to Allah. فَمِحَالٌ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ مِنْهُمْ أَوَلَدٌ, so it's impossible that he will have a partner among these people or a son. ولما أخبر أنه المالك للعالم العليوي والسفلي. After Allah informed us that He is the owner of the عالم, the world, the upper world and the lower one, the heavens and the earth. أخبر أنه قائم بمصالحهم الدنيوية والأخروية. He informed us that He is the one looking after our affair in this worldly life and the life to come. وحافظهما وحافظها أو مجازيهم عليها. That Allah will accumulate these deeds and He will reward the people accordingly. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll be dealing with a very critical ayat about al-Masih and his position in regards to the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and more ayat which we need to be familiar with in our da'wah to Christians. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.